Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.
Today's scripture reading is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. And 11 through 16. It's found on pages 193 and 194 in the Pew Bible, if you care to read along, and I'll remind you when we're going to skip. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Therefore, it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. Skip down. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
In Paul's time, my guess is when you had to set a broken bone, you didn't say bite on a bullet because they didn't have bullets. My guess would be that if there was a broken bone that had to be set, they might just hand you a stick or something and say like this, and bite down on this stick, bite down hard on this stick. Now, you've heard Richard read to you twice the word equip. He used equipped or equip or equipped that was there. And that word in Greek that is there for that has to do with the idea of alignment. And it isn't just simple alignment, it's the alignment of a broken bone. It's the alignment of a broken bone. And it's this idea of the fact that when you part of the equipment that Paul is driving at here in this concept of unity, this idea of oneness, is to bring ourselves into proper alignment with this. Now, with that having been said, I wonder if there are going to be parts of my reflection today that may cause some of you to need perhaps to be prepared to bite down on a stick. What do you think? What do you think? Now, for those of you that don't have a stick with you, I imagine you didn't bring a stick into the service today. You can also bite down on your finger, right? That'll work real well, right? That was meant as humor. I don't think it'll work worth a darn. But the idea of perhaps biting down and being able to deal with what's there, because this idea of alignment may just sort of be a little hard for us to take. I had an experience, right, this last Monday was the 1 year anniversary of me having broken my ankle. And I got to have my ankle set in an emergency room by a nurse practitioner. That's what he did for a living, was work in emergency rooms. And fortunately, I had a little bit of anesthesia, I had a little bit of medication to help me with that, but it still hurt. it still hurt an awful lot. And so sometimes having things lined up for you, orthopedically and otherwise, can be a bit of an exercise where you hurt there. So I'm going to warn you a couple of three times that you may want to be ready to bite down on something, okay? Verse 1 is a hinge of the letter that we've been reading. Paul turns from laying out a grand vision of what God has done in Christ and what is given and through the church to answer the inevitable question, okay, now what? So what? What matters? How does this lofty vision play out in congregational life? Paul points out that unity is not just a given. Unity is not just a given, but it's a goal for the community to live towards and to live out its ethic. Unity is not just something Christians passively accept or reject. It's something we choose to do. It's something we choose to do. The maintenance of unity requires, in Paul's words, every effort on the part of the baptized to create spaces of grace where diversity of life and diversity of practice is honored. Here, I'm not using the word diversity as a slogan or a catchphrase that one would slap on the back of your car as a bumper sticker. It refers rather to the recognition, the acceptance, the practice, and celebration of gifts given to the community. Why? For the common building up of the body of Christ. That is, again, that's not Dennis Shaw's words. That's what Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus in verse 12. So here, you might want to bite down on this stick. And maybe you might want to bite down hard on it. I don't know. Unity for Paul is not the same thing as uniformity. Unity for Paul is not the same thing as uniformity. For those of you that follow math and you saw the title of my sermon, you saw that do not equal sign. You saw what that meant. Unity does not equal uniformity. Unity is an appropriate word for the church today. At one level, and we see this throughout our world, in order to counter perceived threats from perhaps moral relativism, perhaps secularism, many in some religious bodies have heightened pressure on their followers to conform to doctrinal, moral, or maybe even political correctness in interpretation and behavior to mark that community's witness or presence in ministry. Sometimes correctness is confused with maturity. How's that stick? How's that stick? Do we need to substitute sticks? Are you okay? Have you bitten it in half yet? Okay. As a person grows into the likeness of Christ, he or she adds to the growth of the body of Christ, the maturity of the body of Christ. The line between individual and corporate starts to blur. You start off your Christian walk focusing on your individual life, but as you progress as a Christian, you move more and more and more and more towards the element of the corporate life. We go from being focused on me and my needs to being focused on our needs, the common good. John Donne deals with that in his poem, No Man is an Island. We get there. Said another way, we align our lives as followers of Jesus with God's purposes. We grow into becoming a disciple, and this individual transformation aids in the corporate transformation of the world into God's kingdom. We are to, in Paul's words in verses 12 and 13 that Richard read, build up the body of Christ until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Paul begins the letter by reminding his readers that he is a prisoner in the Lord. A prisoner in the Lord. Just as all are the baptized. Christ is the head and the cornerstone. Christ is the giver of our various gifts. Thus, one's individual ministries comes from Christ, just as one is called to imitate Christ, to be one with Christ. I don't know the name of that first century prison that Paul was in, but I'm sure he bit down on more than one or two sticks while there to deal with the pain of that experience. But his will and the will of the Father were properly aligned. Remember, you're biting down on that stick in order to get your will, to get this stuff lined up properly. When Christ is truly placed at the center of the body, when we are aligned with the good news of Jesus Christ, no one should be able to claim authoritative claims on us or make theological claims contrary to what has been revealed through the very nature of who Christ is. Now, that first section that Richard read there, you heard the word one seven times. I think it was important to Paul. If he mentions it seven times, I think it was probably important to him. What did he say? One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. The principle of the mark, the principal mark of the church through this letter in Ephesians is unity. And the calling of the Christians is to build up the body in all that they do. The vision of the church proclaimed here is that Christ's church is to be unified. The metaphor of the body is organic and dynamic, not static or rigid. Our bodies are hopefully constantly growing, constantly changing. Mine's growing a little faster in some areas that I'd rather not grow in. Come on. Loses his punch when I have to coach you to laugh. Of course, Doug is sitting there saying, then be funnier. The body of the vision of Christ is always living into his calling, but the vision of unity is, I think, clear. What is that? Proclaiming Jesus in the world and him crucified. I think I can maybe take that stick now from you. Maybe we're past the hard part. Oh, we are past the hard part. You can take the stick and set it down. You shouldn't have to bite down hard anymore, I hope. The exhortation of this passage, therefore, is to encourage the listener to accept their calling willingly, aware of the sacrifice that such a calling entails. Jesus, Lord of the world, him crucified. To bear with one another is to sacrifice for the other. It is to carry the other's burdens. Love is not an emotion. Love is an act of the will. Love is an act of the will. Paul is not calling for the early Christians to feel warmly towards one another, but to act according to their calling. They are to do love by serving one another. The church is called to be a new, different community based not on the divisions inherent in the existing social order, but on the new humanity in Christ. The social hierarchy that is the secular world has been replaced by the body of Christ. In this new order, all members are essential and all members are connected. Love, therefore, is neither theoretical or abstract, but it is the glue of the community. It is what knits the body together. I wrote this on Thursday. I saw that played out on Thursday night with Marty and the summer singers. The tools for this body are humility, gentleness, and patience. Humility keeps us grounded in the reality of who we are as creatures formed from the dust of God. Gentleness reminds us of our corporate identity. And patience is a requirement in all work of the church and God. And believe me, for those of you that sit there and say, Dennis, you need to work on that, I know that. I am 100% mindful of that, and I think I'm perhaps just incrementally a little more patient today than I was 6 years and 2 weeks ago. But we don't need that stick. We really don't need that stick, because Jesus' yoke is easy. That's not Dennis, that's Matthew. Jesus says that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He bears it with us, and because as we take it upon ourselves and bear one another's burdens, we come closer to Christ. Paul addresses that tendency towards division by using the word seven times in two verses. The sevenfold emphasis on oneness, which the text speaks of as the foundational element of God, foundational work of God. It's not something we create. We don't create the oneness. God has created it for us, and it's the what we need to try to live into. It's a given in which we are called to yield. We are called to yield our egos. We're called to yield our values. As churches, on that one, anybody have to reach for a stick on that one? Do you have to reach for a stick on that comment? As churches work toward or around the realization of unity that God has created, the question repeatedly arises, which of our own preferences do we value more highly than the experience of this God-given unity? To what degree do we desire less unity than God intends? Now, the first time I, at this church, I ever asked about the second law of thermodynamics, the answer was Bonhoeffer. It's not Bonhoeffer. The second law of thermodynamics suggests that a system left to its own devices becomes chaotic. It becomes chaotic. Okay, get your sticks ready. This might hurt a little bit. To get things lined up properly, we may have to hurt you just a little bit. What does Paul say we have to do in order to achieve unity? Richard read it. Richard read it a couple of times. He talked about the issue of maturity. He actually even said the words, grow up. Did you hear him say it? Did you hear him say it? Paul, Richard said, in order to achieve this maturity, you have to grow up. Stop acting like children. Stop acting like kids. Stop acting like it's all about me. Okay, how did those sticks do? You may bite one in half just then. Growing up may require standing down because mature Christians are more concerned about unity than personal triumph. Notice all the ways Paul makes this point. First, he uses the language of unity and one extensively throughout the letter with the heaviest concentration appearing in this passage. Twice, he speaks of the unity of the Spirit. Through the cross, Christ has unified ethnic groups so that peace should ensue and hostilities cease. Chapter 2, verse 14. Creating what Ephesians calls one new humanity. Chapter 2, verse 15. Which has a singular access to God through one Spirit. Chapter 2, verse 16. I'm not giving you Dennis. I'm giving you what Paul has had to say in this letter. One body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God who is the parent of everyone. And the second thing for us is that unity is emphasized through peace language. We are called to do this peacefully. For example, Paul will close the letter with words I'm going to be using in mid-August. From chapter 6, he will say, as shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim what? The gospel of peace. The gospel and peace travel as a unit together. He does that in his greeting in chapter 1, verse 2, and in his farewell, chapter 6, verse 23. Paul says, peace. Those aren't throwaway words. That's not a throwaway word. You need to have concern for peace, and it frames this entire letter. So clearly the main thrust of our passage points to concern for unity as the hallmark for Christian maturity, growing up. And Paul insists that mature Christians understand that they have been especially equipped for ministry. Our job is simply to recognize our particular gifts and use them for the development and the augmentation of the body. Again, not Dennis, but Paul, chapter 4, verse 11 through 14. If you're an engineer, we want to use you for engineering kind of things. If you have a background in finance and accounting, we'd love to use you in finance accounting. It was wonderful last year when we were talking about who might help with the church and various things, and we came to the conclusion that Mike Kovach was underemployed, but we didn't know where we wanted to put him. All we knew was Mike Kovach didn't have a task here at the church. His wife did, but he did not. So I was given permission to call Mike up, and whatever was the best fit, I was given permission to say, Mike, that's a great idea. Let's give you blah, whatever that was. Didn't know anything about him. Mike, what did you do before you retired? I worried about building infrastructure. I worried about air conditioners and heaters and plumbing and the way the building all was maintained and worked on. I sat there and looked at that and I said, I've got a place for you. And Mike was here most of the week, off and on, dealing with the air conditioner issues here of the building. He's a round peg in a round hole. We didn't try to turn Mike into a musician, okay? We used Mike for what his best his gifts and graces were. That's the task for all of us. What are our strengths? What is it we do well? And come in and let's see if we can use that to help build up the body of Christ. So the question might be for all of us. First, as you move from this individual strength to corporate strength, what is it that you can do well? What is it that you can do well, and how do you help build up that body? And the other question comes back to this issue that I started, that the title of the sermon, unity is not uniformity. Unity does not equal uniformity. I'd like to get to a place where certain issues of building up the body of Christ is about unity. And I can agree that we can have conversations about when, but at some points in the conversation, if we're going to do something, to me, is an element of unity. We need to be recognize that by being the body of Christ, there are certain things we must do. We can debate when we might do that, when we go do that. But if we're going to do that, should really be beyond debate. Because building up the body of Christ is not Dennis's charge to the church. It's actually not Paul's charge to the church. It's the charge that Christ Jesus gives to all of us, to go and make disciples of Jesus Christ. For what purpose? For the transformation of the world, whether that's local or global. That's our task. We ought to be in unity on that. And the task of where we might not reach uniformity might be the issue of when, but certainly we should be in unity on the, we should be in unity that this is the task for each of us. Please be prepared to, please, we, as we sing in a second, we're going to do Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. We call this in your bulletin the Hymn of Dedication. And what that means is that maybe by singing these words, we can dedicate ourselves to the task of what it is that the scripture, the prayer, the sermon all focused on. Blessed be the tie that binds. Blessed be the tie that brings us together. I'm sorry? Thank you, Roberta. What are we doing? Oh, Church of God United. How did I get 557? It's in? Okay, 547. Oh, Church of God United. I don't have the words here. Thank you. Should I do that at 10:30 just to see if they're paying attention? Oh, Church of God United, and how to serve one common Lord. Please stand as you're able. Thank you guys for laughing with me there. All right.
Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.